Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 69 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Courtney Howe.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
Overall, we pay $10.7 million to the retirement benefits based on $42 million in salary. And honestly, it's unsustainable.
Moorhead State University is now using almost half of its annual state appropriation to cover fixed costs.
An Ashland cardiologist has been convicted of healthcare fraud.
A plastics company plans to open a new plant in Maysville.
In sports, the World Series is in Chicago tonight for the first time since 1945.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Clear skies tonight with lows around 40 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
First this afternoon, a federal jury has convicted an Ashland cardiologist of performing unnecessary heart procedures on dozens of patients. The U.S. Attorney's Office says that jurors returned a guilty verdict Thursday against Dr. Richard Paulus on charges of health care fraud and making false statements relating to health care matters. During a 7-week trial, prosecutors presented evidence that showed Paulus performed cardiac stent procedures on more than 70 patients who didn't need them at King's Daughters Medical Center. The operations took place between 2008 and 2013. The Kentucky Department of Justice accused Dr. Paulus of falsifying records to make it appear that the procedures were necessary before billing Medicare, Medicaid, and other insurers. Sentencing is scheduled for April 25th in U.S. District Court. Paulus faces 25 years in prison.
An early morning house fire that broke out in Portsmouth yesterday has been posted as a suspected arson. The Portsmouth Daily Times reports a house at 2337 Grant Street that was renovated into two apartments caught fire around 3 a.m. Portsmouth Fire Chief Bill Rayson says three people were living upstairs and two people were living downstairs. All occupants managed to get out of the house safely. An investigation is ongoing.
A Chesapeake man accused of raping a child pleaded guilty to an amended indictment. According to the Ironton Tribune, 30-year-old Charles Ferris appeared in Lawrence County Commons Pleas Court on Wednesday and pleaded guilty to two first-degree counts of rape. The indictment lists the victim as 2 years old at the time of the crime. Sentencing for Ferris is set for November 2nd.
The Kentucky Speaker of the House is suing Governor Matt Bevin over 13 pages of emails. KNN's Will Clark has details.
The open records lawsuit filed in Franklin Circuit Court is Speaker Greg Stumbo's answer to Governor Bevin's refusal to release emails connected to a Jessamine County road project he believes was canceled for political reasons. In a statement, Stumbo says Bevin has been selective in which emails he's released, and the suit calls for the release of all emails between the governor's office and transportation officials, but highlights his request for the 13 pages that have been withheld to this point. I'm Will Clark.
Unemployment in the Gateway Area Development District has dropped below 6%. Here's MSPR's Ashley Chapman.
According to new figures from the Kentucky Office of Employment and Training, the September jobless rate for the Gateway ADD was 5.8%. That's down 0.2 of a point from August. Rowan has the lowest unemployment rate among the district's five counties, 5.2%. State officials say fewer people were also out of work in the Buffalo Trace, Fiveco, and Big Sandy ADDs. The jobless rate dipped to 6.2% for Buffalo Trace. It was down 0.4 of a point in Fiveco to 8.9%. 10.4% of the Big Sandy labor force was said to be idle in September. That's 0.1 of a point lower than August. Unemployment statewide was pegged at 4.8%. For Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Ashley Chapman.
According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, a plastics company plans to open a new plant in Maysville. MACA Plastics Incorporated makes parts for the auto industry. Local and state officials say the firm will locate on Progress Way in a building that formerly housed Technotrim. MACA says it will hire 60 to 70 employees. The firm is receiving state tax incentives of up to $2.5 million over 15 years for investing in the local operation.
With new General Assembly-approved rules and oversight in place, public-private partnerships are set to increase in Kentucky. Collaborations between local governments and the private sector are already common, but Ashley Watts with the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce says 2016's P3 bill paves the way for joint transportation and other projects.
We were one of the few states in the nation that did not have this in statute, and by having this, it really does kind of open the borders of our states to investors, to financers. It gives local governments who maybe have some great ideas but don't have a way to finance it a new option. So there's a lot of excitement here.
Watts is part of a conference in Lexington meant to familiarize stakeholders with new legislation and the opportunities and obstacles facing the partnerships. She says the chamber hopes to make the gathering an annual event.
It's a challenging situation, and Kentucky will not get out of it easily. That's what the executive director of the Kentucky Retirement Systems told a panel of state lawmakers in Frankfort on Thursday. David Eager testified before House and Senate members of the General Assembly's Appropriations and Revenue Committee.
Collectively, KRS is paying out in benefits about $800 million more than we're taking in contributions. So if you picture yourself at the bank, you put your paycheck in, and then you turn right around and take it out, and then you take out some more money. It's hard to grow a fund that's in that situation, and we're working on plans to do that, but it's going to take a lot of painful steps.
Eager says some of those painful steps may include tax increases. He says Kentuckians need to be educated about the extent of the problem.
Morehead State's chief financial officer says the university's retirement and other fixed costs now account for nearly half of the school's appropriation from the Kentucky legislature. That's what Beth Patrick told members of the House and Senate Budget Committees Thursday. She says MSU is receiving $42 million from the state this year, and the school's pension costs alone amount to $10.7 million.
We will also pay about $7.3 million this year just to maintain the facilities that are owned by the state. And I can tell you that's not enough. It needs to be about 2.5 times that. We're doing what we absolutely have to do to keep the doors open, but we're not keeping up with keeping systems replaced, refreshed, and eventually that's going to just continue to get to be a larger hole of deferred maintenance.
In addition, Patrick says the university is providing almost $3 million in mandatory tuition waivers. She says because of those pressures on its budget, MSU eliminated 68 positions this year, and many of them will fill with time. In the past years, Patrick says the school reduced employment costs through attrition.
Carter County State Senator Robin Webb is applauding Morehead State University for keeping most of its staff even as the legislature reduced funding for higher education. The Democrat says these jobs have meant a lot of people who live in eastern Kentucky.
I just want to thank you for not saying for the people that you employ from my district and beyond, and those benefits, as uncomfortable and inconvenient as it is to try to budget for that contingency in this retirement situation, if those individuals do not have those benefits, it's hard to budget for those out years when they reach retirement age.
Webb concedes the legislature has caused some of the budget problems now confronting Morehead State and Kentucky's other public universities. She says lawmakers bear part of the responsibility for current financial hardships in the system.
Top law enforcement officials from Kentucky, Ohio, and West Virginia met in Huntington Thursday to discuss the tri-state's battle with opioid abuse. Clark Davis reports.
Attorneys General from Ohio and Kentucky joined West Virginia Attorney General Patrick Morrissey in Huntington Thursday to discuss the opioid crisis plaguing all three states. Attorneys General Mike DeWine of Ohio and Andy Beshear of Kentucky joined Morrissey at the New Life Church in Huntington. It's one of a series of meetings being held to increase cross-border cooperation in finding solutions to problems stemming from the opioid epidemic. Beshear says the epidemic has touched everyone.
These drug dealers don't recognize state or county lines. We believe that the same bad batch in fentanyl caused huge numbers of overdoses here in Huntington, in Mount Sterling, Kentucky, and in Cincinnati, Ohio. So we have to be able to work together.
Huntington is considered the epicenter for substance abuse in West Virginia. On one day alone in August, 28 people overdosed on heroin in Huntington. Just a few weeks later, 24 overdoses were reported in one day in Louisville, Kentucky. West Virginia Attorney General Patrick Morrissey says he realized that the states didn't work well enough together to fight the epidemic.
There was a fundamental lack of collaboration across federal, state, local governments, and within the communities. And simply by communicating with one another on a regular basis, having these conferences, and then following up after these conferences, that's how you start to change the problem within specific towns.
Last year, more than 900 drug-related overdoses were reported in Cabell County, West Virginia alone, including 70 deaths. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
Connect, the health insurance portal launched under former Governor Steve Beshear, will be disconnected next week. As Josh James reports, the move fulfills a campaign promise made by the current governor, but is drawing fire from Democrats.
Starting November 1st, if they haven't already received a notice from the state, visitors to connect.ky.gov will discover a landing page with instructions on how to reapply for health insurance on the federal site healthcare.gov. Republican Governor Matt Bevin had set a goal of transitioning away from the state-run marketplace by the end of 2016, arguing the site duplicates services and the state could save $10 million a year by shutting it down. Meanwhile, one Kentucky congressman and Connect advocate is attacking the move in a new radio ad, which enlists some help from high places.
This is Barack Obama. Over the past few years, Connect, Kentucky's version of the Affordable Care Act, provided health insurance to more than half a million Kentuckians.
In the 60-second spot, President Obama touts Kentucky's drop in the uninsured rate and urges voters to re-elect Yarmouth to continue fighting for the state's Medicaid expansion. Bevin is seeking to revise the expansion through a waiver, which he says will make the program fiscally sustainable. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Ashland's annual Halloween celebration will take place Monday evening in Central Park. The city's Park and Recreation Director, Sean Murray, says the event is scheduled from 6 to 7:30, and it's a pretty big deal.
We traditionally have over 2,000 participants, and that's including the parents and the kids and all the costumes that come with it. It's an hour and a half or about 90 minutes, so you're running them through around 16 different tables. There's plenty of activities, hay mazes, clowns, a lot of games the kids can play. We got the music going at the same time, but then probably the most important part is we have approximately 1,000 pounds of candy that we hand out.
Murray says parents like the trick-or-treat bash because the Central Park is well-lighted and it's safe.
Ashland is holding a grand opening tomorrow for its new dog park. City Commissioner Marty Goot says it's being called Bark in the Park, and it starts at 10 a.m.
Saturday, the library is partnering with us. They have Barktoberfest, and so they approached me about having a costume party for the dogs, along with a ribbon cutting and grand opening.
Goot pushed for creation of the new facility, which spans a small fenced-in section of Central Park. Taking a look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, clear skies with patchy valley fog late. Temperatures will be in the lower 40s in the valleys and in the mid-50s on the ridges. Your Saturday will be warm and sunny with temperatures around 80 degrees. Saturday night will be mostly clear, lows in the lower 50s in the valleys and around 60 on the ridges. Sunday will be mostly sunny, highs in the upper 40s. Sunday night will be mostly cloudy, patchy valley fog late with lows in the mid-50s. And your Halloween will be partly sunny with highs in the mid-70s, and Monday night will be partly cloudy with lows in the upper 50s. It's currently 65 degrees in Ashland, 67 degrees in Flemingsburg, 70 degrees in Lexington, and it is 69 degrees in Inez, Winchester, and here in Moorhead.
On our feature segment this afternoon, we have commentary from Moorhead State University Professor John Modath. He ponders the peculiar names given to some life-degrading products.
Please excuse the backup alarms in the background, but the road is being improved. Have you noticed the lovely sound of the names associated with the virtual world? We've got the web, which, if you know Charlotte, isn't a bad thing. We've got the net, which is handy for catching fish and butterflies. And, oh, don't forget Windows, so splendid for looking through and washing in spring. And Apple and Google, bisyllabic noms de plume for caretakers of every millimeter of our lives. Oh, don't forget the best one of all, the cloud. Who couldn't love a cloud? Ask Jennifer Lawrence. Lovely names for lovely things make perfect sense, but the net and the web and the window and the apple and the cloud can also be menacing, carrying with them the spiders and the rocks and the worms and the storms of human nature. One day about 10 years ago, I was walking on campus and, as sociability with strangers is common in these parts, noticed an approaching pedestrian looking my way while saying, "Hello." In New York, I'd grab my purse, but in Moorhead, hello means hello most of the time. So a returned greeting was on cue. "Good morning," I said, looking directly at the comrade. Well, he gave me a look like someone who really dislikes peas had just eaten one. That was when I saw the phone. He wasn't saying hello to me at all. He was talking out loud to someone in his ear, formerly called insanity, now called cell phone communication. We'll get back to why cell is such a perfect name for this device. I learned then that people walking around talking are not in the world of the four dimensions where I encounter them. They are taking up space, but they are not in the time. An investigation began. Standing at my office window, one could see passers-by on University Boulevard and Elizabeth Avenue. 10 years ago, in this lively set of corners, sidewalks, and crosswalks, about 1 in 10 persons could at any moment be spotted talking on a device. As so-called smartphones, another euphemism, emerged, the number of people carrying a device and walking while talking grew, as did the number of people not talking, but rather staring at the wee window, while they stumbled through the world of four dimensions where their bodies lived. The number grew from 1 in 10 to 5, and now it is easier to count the small number of people who are not latched onto some sort of screen. And I also see, in the distance of 50 feet, a person unlatch for a moment, and soon begin to root around, like a hungry babe again, for that comforting sensation of connecting in some way that lends succor. What is the problem that was solved by our walking around staring into screens? Are we all main characters out of Camus' classic tale, The Stranger? Are we choosing this prison, this tiny window through which so little actual light can travel? Are we willing convicts? Do we want these chains? Are we mad?
Hell, you're crazy.
I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Moorhead State University. The time is 4:47, and you're listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. Courtney Howell here alongside Ellen Barnett, and we're glad you're with us on this Friday evening. Stay tuned at 5 o'clock for an all-new All Things Considered. Braxton Howard has sports.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The World Series returns to Wrigley Field tonight as the Cubs host the Indians. AP correspondent David Schuster reports.
Decent weather is expected for Game 3 of the World Series later this evening. The mercury should be in the 60s at first pitch, with the wind expected to be blowing out. The Cubs and Indians split the opening two games of this series in Cleveland, with the next three here at Wrigley Field. Kyle Hendricks and Josh Tomlin will be the starting pitchers for their respective teams, with Hendricks coming off a victory in the NLCS that clinched a berth for the Cubs in this fall classic. This will be the first World Series game played here at Wrigley Field in 71 years, making it a very hot ticket to have. David Schuster, Chicago.
It is the final Friday night of the high school football regular season, and some notable games from around the area. Magoffin County hosts West Carter. Hornets coach Justin Combs says the game will come down to his defense's ability to stop the ground game of the Comets.
They run the ball pretty well. They got some pretty good runners. Got a little bit of speed, some power. They like to get outside. They like to spread you out, run the ball a little bit. So hopefully our defense can tackle in space.
Also tonight, 2-8-1 rivals will do battle in Raceland when the Rams host the Russell Red Devils. Russell headman T.J. Maynard has high praise for the Rams.
I think they're by far the best team that we've played to this point. Again, they can really run the ball really well. Nathaniel Davidson, their quarterback, has had a phenomenal year. He's got multiple weapons out there to throw the ball to. So this would be a big task for us defensively. We haven't faced a team that can do both things really well. You know, we face some teams that can throw the ball really well. We face some teams that can run the ball really well, but they do both really well, so we got to make sure defensively come to play.
Other games in the area this evening: Ashland hosts Tate's Creek, Fleming visits East Carter, Shelby Valley is at Paintsville, Lewis takes on Fairview, and Johnson Central hosts Belfry. The Round County football team has tonight off as it continues to prepare for its playoff game with Bourbon County next Friday. Head coach Dean Peterson is reflecting back on the season with the off week, and despite the 2-8 record, he has been pleased with the development of his team.
As you go through the year, you know, you got to try to meet certain goals. And, you know, one of the things was to get better every week, and I thought we did. And so, you know, we can you know, a lot of times it didn't show up as wins, but we did get better.
Coach Peterson expects to be on the sideline for next week's playoff game after suffering a heart attack after last week's game. The Moorhead State football team is also off this weekend, currently on a 3-game losing streak and just 2-6 on the year. Head coach Rob Tenier says the bye week is much needed.
You know, when you go, I don't know how many straight weeks it's been, but 13 or 14 straight weeks when you include camp in there. That's an awful long stretch for an open date, and so we need some time to heal up a little bit. And hopefully give us a little more momentum, you know, and mentally get back into it. And I got three really important games left, and, you know, they're winnable games.
The Eagles travel to Indianapolis next weekend to take on Butler. The Kentucky football team is in Columbia to face Missouri tomorrow at noon Eastern. Winners of four of the last five games, the Wildcats are two wins away from becoming bowl eligible for the first time since 2010. But head coach Mark Stoops says his guys can't be fooled by Missouri's 2-5 record this weekend.
We know this game will not be easy. Missouri's a lot better team than their record indicates, and they're going to be extremely passionate and hungry to get a victory. And we know this will be a real challenge, and we have to go on the road, and we have to wake up and play an 11 o'clock game, so we better be getting it first thing in the morning.
Kentucky is 4-3 on the year and in second place in the SEC East. As for the fifth-ranked Louisville Cardinals, they visit Virginia this weekend. The Moorhead State men's basketball team showcased its 2016-17 roster with its blue-gold game last night at Johnson Arena. Junior guard Miguel DeSint was pleased with the effort of his teammates, but believes they still have a few adjustments to make before tipping off the new campaign.
We got to cut down the turnovers, first of all, and we got to rebound better. This year, we actually way smaller than what we were last year, so we got to make sure everybody stick in and rebound, especially the guards. We got to help even more.
The Eagles will open up the season with an exhibition game against Cincinnati Christian on November the 6th at 2 p.m. The OVC is well represented on a number of this season's NBA rosters. MSPR's Kenzie Thompson reports.
Five former OVC players will be in the league for a second consecutive season. One of the five is former Moorhead State All-American Kenneth Fareed, who's entering his sixth season with the Denver Nuggets. Former Murray State guard Isaiah Kanan is with Chicago, while another ex-racer Cameron Payne is toiling for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Belmont's Ian Clark is on Golden State's roster, while Tennessee State's Robert Covington is a member of the Philadelphia 76ers. Reporting from Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
The University of Kentucky men's basketball team plays host to Clarion in its first exhibition game of the year on Sunday. Head coach John Calipari claims his team can't take the Division II Golden Eagles lightly.
You worry about this kind of game, and again, we can all say what we want. I mean, I remember playing Christian Brothers at Memphis, and us thinking we're going to go in and work on our stuff, and we're down like 10 at half and win by 5. I mean, this stuff, you know, these teams come in here and they're playing in front of a big crowd and they get excited and they're going to come after us and we'll see how it works.
Clarion is the alma mater of John Calipari. Sunday's game tips off at 7 p.m. And finally in sports, the Moorhead State volleyball team has two OVC home matches this weekend at Witherby Gym when they face Tennessee Tech tonight and Jacksonville State on Saturday. Head coach Jamie Gordon knows it will be another challenging weekend for his volleyball Eagles.
Both of those teams are in the same boat that we are. Everybody's, you know, scratching and clawing to work their way up the conference standings. And so, while we'll have some motivation, I know that both of those teams will be coming in very well prepared, very hungry for an opportunity to pick up a couple of road wins.
Tonight's match is set to begin at 6 p.m. with Saturdays slated for a 2 p.m. start time. That's it for sports for Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Volleyball will host Jacksonville State at 2 p.m. tomorrow afternoon and Eastern Kentucky at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, November 2nd. Tickets and additional information available from the Moorhead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed mostly lower after the Federal Bureau of Investigation announced it is investigating new emails relating to Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 8.49 at 18,161.19. The S&P 500 was down 6.63 at 2126.41. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 25.87 at 5190.1. New York Stock Exchange breadth was almost 3-2 in favor of losing stocks over winners. U.S. Treasury yields fell as bond prices rose. The 2-year note yield traded around 0.85%, and the benchmark 10-year yield held near 1.84%. And, of course, these yields have been rising steadily over the past 3 months. The U.S. economy grew at an annualized rate of 2.9% in the third quarter, according to the Commerce Department, and this gain was, or I should say the 2.9% clip, marked the fastest economic growth in 2 years and was above expectations. Meanwhile, the corporate earnings season continued in full force, with energy giants Chevron and ExxonMobil both posting mixed quarterly results. Chevron was up sharply while ExxonMobil was down. Other firms that reported include AbbVie, Hershey, and Goodyear Tire. AbbVie and Goodyear Tire both dropping sharply, while Hershey was up over 7%. Also this afternoon, or I should say yesterday afternoon, Amazon posted mixed quarterly results with sales eking out above estimates and profits falling well short of estimates. And at the close today, Amazon shares actually taking some pretty hard selling, with the stock down about 5.2%. Overseas, European equities slipped, with the Pan-European 600 index dropping about 0.25%, and in Asia, stocks closed mixed. And U.S. crude futures for December delivery were down 2.1% at $48.68 a barrel, and gold futures for December delivery rose $13.30, finishing at $1,282.60 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Chevron and United Technologies, and your worst performers were Merck and ExxonMobil. And in the S&P 500, your best performers were Royal Caribbean and Baker Hughes, and the worst performers were McKesson and AmerisourceBergen. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down a penny at $111.91, CSX down 3 cents at $30.28, Marathon Petroleum up a penny at $42.82, AK Steel up 7 cents at $5.20, AEP up 23 cents at $63.42, and U.S. Bancorp was down 6 cents to finish at $44.64. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
One last look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight. Clear skies, some patchy valley fog late with lows in the lower 40s in the valleys and in the mid-50s on the ridges. Your Saturday will be warm and sunny with highs around 80 degrees. Saturday night will be mostly clear, lows in the lower 50s in the valleys and around 60 on the ridges. Your Sunday will be mostly sunny, temperatures will be in the upper 70s. Your Sunday night will be mostly cloudy, some patchy valley fog late, lows in the mid-50s. And your Monday will be partly sunny, highs in the mid-70s. Monday night will be partly cloudy with lows in the upper 50s. It's currently 65 degrees in Ashland, 67 degrees in Flemingsburg, 69 degrees in Inez and Winchester. It's 70 degrees in Lexington and 69 degrees here in Moorhead.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Dan Conti, Nathan Gutierrez, Samantha Morrill, Ashley Chapman, Braxton Howard, Kyle Blankenbuehler, from WUKY, Josh James, Kentucky News Network, Will Clark, and on our feature segment, we had help from MSU Professor John Modath. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Courtney Howell for Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.